Right, if you've got a Bible, we might turn to John chapter 15, which is on page 1083 in these Bibles, page 1083. And I'm going to read a few of these verses, and then we'll comment on them. Heavenly Father, we simply ask that as we look at your word together, Lord, that you would speak to us. Lord, you are speaking to us. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be open to you. Help us to listen. Apply them by your Spirit to our lives. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so let's read John chapter 15 and verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener, says Jesus. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. I had various scenes of my life which have been really important to me and interesting and valuable. And one of them was when Sue and I, we lived in the Northeast for 3 years. And as part of that, we were supplying into Nissan. We had a factory just about a mile away from the Nissan factory, and we were supplying into them. And one of the things Nissan does very well is about developing their suppliers. They have a supplier development team, some great guys on that team. And I went on some courses with them about how to improve manufacturing and all that type of thing. And the core philosophy, as I'm sure you're aware, of Japanese manufacturing was about continuous improvement. And they had what they called Kaizen, which is basically a term for that, a Japanese term for that. And the whole idea was that you'd have small teams right throughout the factory which would focus on finding ways of improvement. They seek to find what was wrong and find ways of improving what they were doing so they become ever more efficient. And you're probably aware, certainly at one point, I don't know about today, but that Nissan factory in Sunderland was the most efficient plant in the world in terms of its output of vehicles per manpower. And a core part of this was it was a no-blame type culture. So it wasn't about, oh, this is such and such a person's fault that this wasn't as good before. It was all about forward-looking. This is where we're going. This is what we want to be. Let's find together the ways in which we can improve. And I think that's a core idea, actually, when we come to what it means to be disciples of Jesus Christ and what Jesus is calling us to. What we're looking to do is to work together. He's put us in teams, if you like, together. Okay, we are a team. We're to work together towards a common goal. That's what a team has. Yeah? The common goal, common purpose. These people in this land, they were striving towards producing cars as good quality as they could, as efficiently as they possibly could. That was their objective. And Jesus Christ has given us two real objectives, and he's placed us in a team together that we might support one another and care for one another, not in a blame type culture, but in a type of culture which is forward looking and saying, this is where we want to get to, how can we get there? And we work together towards it. And I believe this is part of what we're talking about when we come to this passage, is about where God and Jesus Christ call us to be and to go. And you know that we've titled this series, Fruitful Disciples. And I believe this is vitally important to us, because this is exactly what Jesus Christ and God the Father call us to. The first thing is this, is that we are called to be fruitful. And this is phenomenally exciting for us, because I believe that fundamentally, you and I, we want to be fruitful. We want to have some meaning and purpose about us. We want it to be a reason why we are here, and to produce something that will last. And as we look at what Jesus is promising here, in verse 2 he says, it cuts off some branches, prunes some branches, so that it will be even more fruitful. In verse 8 he says, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And in verse 16, I have chosen you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. So the first thing I really want to say is this, is that God wants great things for you. Amen. He wants you to be fruitful. Amen. He wants you to be productive. Amen. And to me this is exciting. And on top of the fact that this is my purpose, what we need to understand is, when I look in my garden, we're talking about what type of fruit is it. And different trees produce different fruit. And we are on the Jesus vine. Which means the fruit that we're talking about is what I call Jesus fruit. Okay? We're not about producing apples or pears or whatever type of human fruit there might be in the world. We're talking about producing Jesus fruit. We are part of the Jesus vine. And when I look out at my trees in my garden, or my bushes in my garden, what gives an idea early on of what type of, if there's going to be fruitful or not, is the blossom. There's a blossom that comes, which in time develops into fruit. And what I want to suggest is this, is actually, as our character blossoms, disciples develop. There's two types of fruit, I think, are core in the New Testament. One is our character, and the other is about other disciples. The fruitfulness of our lives is in our character and in others being discipled through us. You see, in John chapter 13, and verses, just go back a couple of pages, verses 34 and 35, Jesus says this. He says, a new command I give you, love one another as I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And John 17, verses 20 to 23, is very much on a similar theme. You'll be familiar with this as part of Jesus' prayer, just before he goes in Gethsemane. So verse 20 to 23, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for all who will believe in me through their message. Praying for you and I, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. So the thing is this, is I believe there's two types of fruit which are listed here. The first is character, and what character does is it leads to other disciples. That's the core of what Jesus is saying. It's actually by a core and part of our character is our love, okay, love for one another. And actually, as our character shows, so others will also become disciples, and they will recognize what they are. Where character blossoms, disciples grow. Also core in this passage is that the abundance of the fruit totally depends on the connection with God. Verses 4 to 6. Remain in me, and I also, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And again in verse 5, apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 6, if you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's picked up and thrown away. Such branches are burned in the fire. The abundance of the fruit in your life and my life is dependent on my connection with God. Now, you'll know over the last 15 years there's been a huge development in connections. Back 15 years ago, we were on dial-up at home. Okay? And you had to wait for your emails to download. And gradually things developed, and we had broadband, and things gradually increased, and then you got faster broadband, and gradually you could start to get a bit of TV or something, and occasionally you'd have the circles on the screen. And then you move into fibre, and you can get fibre to your local box, and you have this local copper wire coming into your home, and it expands yet further, and you can get, you know, megabytes of data. And then, of course, you can actually get fibre right into your home, and you're on, you know, some super fast broadband, okay? You can download as quick as anything, and it's instant in a flash. And I think in some ways this portrays something about what Jesus is saying here. Because, you know, what is the quality of my connection with God? What's the quality of my connection with God? Is it like a dial-up connection? Or is it like a super-fast fibre optic? You know, I'm that close to God. I'm that much in connection with him that there's instant communication and support there. What is my connection spiritually? Well, Jesus keeps talking in terms of this remaining in my love and our love back. The fundamental element of my connection with God is not about some copper wire or fibre optics. It's about the mutual love between us. That's what it depends on. It's about love. And that love shows itself, says Jesus in this passage, in obedience. Verse 9, for example, as the Father's loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Verse 12, my command is this, love each other as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends, verse 14, if you do what I command. So what Jesus is indicating here is the connection is dependent on our love. It's based on our love. And our love actually shows itself in our obedience to him. We'll come back to that in a moment. But I want us to move slightly further forward, because fruitful is part of our series, but it's fruitful disciples. What is a disciple? Well, a disciple is one who closely emulates their master like an apprentice does. You see, a student basically just learns for an exam, typically, okay? You look to pass an exam of some kind, and so you obtain a lot of information, and when you come to the end, you can mark some type of exam. But apprenticeship is quite different, where it's much more hands-on, you're working alongside the master, and you're developing skills as you go, such that you're able to use them very effectively in the world around. So that's what apprenticeship is about. And that's what Jesus calls us to. He doesn't call us to some sort of academic learning. He calls us to an apprenticeship, a discipleship, that we would become like the master. Jesus himself says it's enough for the student to become like his teacher. That's Jesus' expectation, is we pick up what he has to say to us and how he lives his life so that we would emulate him. And Jesus' fruitfulness, what does that look like? I'm going to pull it up there, but it's just going to come in just a moment. You see, Jesus called his disciples for a very specific purpose. We looked at it a couple of weeks ago. In Matthew 4 and verse 19, Jesus says this. He calls them and he says, I will make you fishers of men. Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You see, Jesus even criticizes the Pharisees, the religious rulers of the time, for making converts. He says, you go over sea and land to convert somebody, but then you make them, in Jesus' words, twice as much a son of hell as you are. It's not about getting somebody to follow me. It's not even just about converting people. What it's about is bringing about real discipleship, real transformation in people's lives. It's far more than people just saying a prayer, although saying a prayer is important. It's actually about a turning over of our lives to Jesus Christ. Come on. That's what's involved in discipleship. And so the call on those first disciples was that they leave their nets. They leave things behind. We talked about leaving things behind, the sins of the past. Leave behind, and we pursue what is ahead, which is to follow Jesus. And what Jesus does is he makes us fishers of men. Now this ties in with the point I had before. In terms of what Jesus does, he makes us fishers of men. How? He does it by transforming us from the inside, so that our character is changed and we become people who can catch people for Jesus. That's what he does. Okay, his character's changed in a number of different ways, which I'm not going to go into right now. But sometimes it takes time. As I look into my garden again, I have a cherry tree. I have two cherry trees. I have a cherry tree which was there when we moved in. We moved in 2000, so I guess it was at least 10 years old when we moved in, so it's now about 28 years old. It produced an abundance of cherries on it, and it's glorious. Some summers it's slightly better than others. This summer was a very good summer for the abundance of cherries. I have another cherry tree which I was given in 2004 and planted, and it probably took about 4 years before it produced any cherries. And then the first year it produced about four cherries or something like that, you know. I mean, it seemed hardly worth the space it was taking up, but gradually it's developed and grown and grown, and now it doesn't produce as much as the other tree, but it does produce a reasonable crop of cherries. It's gradually there. I have another tree, a plum tree. I planted it, I think it might have been about 3 years ago. It's not produced one plum yet, okay, not one single plum. But I imagine, I have faith that in time it will produce those plums. Okay, that's why I've planted it there. And this is the thing, we talk about faith, but God actually has faith in you and I. And he plants us in the belief that we are becoming fishers of men, and that there will be real fruit in our lives. God has faith in you. He believes in you. Huh? And he's put you here for a purpose. I have black currants as well in my garden, and this year was the first year they produced a crop. And you know, there's a sense of joy in the heart of the gardener as he says, "Yes, these have finally produced a crop. It's there. I can take them and eat them." Okay, it's good news. Okay, and just imagine what's in the heart of your heavenly Father as he sees fruit developing in your life. Okay, as that blossom comes out, and he sees something of your character, and then as he sees that fruit coming through, as he sees you talking with someone about Jesus Christ, and he sees some fruit coming through there, as he sees you loving your neighbour as yourself, as he sees you in terms of your love towards him as well, there's a joy in the heart of the Father. So he planted you there for a purpose, and that purpose is coming through. And as we look at Jesus' life, Jesus was fruitful. He was extremely fruitful. But it took time. It's amazing, isn't it, that Jesus was on earth for 30 years, or thereabouts, before he started his ministry. He was always a child of God. He was born that way. It was 30 years before he started his ministry, and then he spends 3 years with the disciples. Then he's crucified. Seems like zero fruit. The disciples have fled away. But then what happens is he comes back from the dead. There's still only a few disciples. Only a small percentage of those he's healed in Israel are following him and trusting him. But his fruit is still there today. You are his fruit. Goes on beyond his lifetime. And actually for you and I as well, sometimes we might get frustrated at the lack of fruit in our lives. But God has chosen you for a purpose. He's chosen you to bear fruit. That is his fundamental, what he wants to do with you. Okay? And sometimes you won't see it. Right now, and exactly in your time, there's seasons and there's years as the years unfold. But the thing is this, Jesus is fundamentally fruitful, and he was fundamentally fruitful, whatever it looked like at the time. And his fruitfulness was based on his love for the Father. Look at just before John 14, the last verse. He says, It comes that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. So what we find there is Jesus' love for the Father God actually mirrors our love for him. In terms of his love flows out in obedience to the commands he receives from his Heavenly Father. I do exactly what my Father commands of me. And he knows his Father's love. Also, is his love for people. So if you look at John 13 and verse 34, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Notice that, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. In other words, what Jesus was saying is, I love you. Okay? I love you. That's fundamental what we see Jesus doing, isn't it? He has compassion on the people around him. He cares for them. That's what we see Jesus. And so what he calls us to do is to simply follow him. So hence the sort of subtitle for this fruitful disciples is to love what Jesus loves, or to love as Jesus loves. I don't mind which way you put what or as in there, okay? I'm two minds as to which to have. But I want to love as Jesus loves, okay? Because the more I love as Jesus loves, then actually the more fruitful I'm going to be, and the more I'm fulfilling what God wants me to achieve in life. It naturally flows. That's the thing, okay, with a tree, isn't it? Okay, if it's connected, if the branch is connected, then it naturally flows. And so the key thing for you and I is that connection with God. It was the key thing for Jesus Christ. He spent time with his Heavenly Father. He was constantly seeking to please him and acknowledge him. Now I just want to finish with thinking about what it means to love. What I want to say is this, that the nature of love is defined by the object of love. We use love in all sorts of ways in the English language. So if I say I love chocolate, what does it mean? It means, I feel good when I eat it. It's basically what it means, isn't it? Yeah? So actually, my love of chocolate is actually totally about me. Yeah? I love it because it makes me feel good. I don't generally nurture it. I don't generally care for it, okay? I don't treat it particularly well. In fact, I just eat it. Okay? But actually, my love of chocolate is all about me. If I say I love my car, it can mean a number of different things, actually. It could mean it's useful for me. It's helpful for me. I might talk about someone who loves their car in terms of they spend all their time washing it or something, yeah? Type of thing. It could be a number of different things. If I say I love reading, it means, again, I get some enjoyment out of it, isn't it? It's just about me, actually. I love reading because it makes me feel good. Maybe it makes me escape from things of the world, or I'm informed by things, or whatever it is. Or I love watching films, or I love this, I love that. And it's all about me. If I say I love my father, what does that mean? So this is my human father. If I say I love my children, what does that mean? What about I love my boss? Okay. What does that mean in real life? Surely to love your boss is to do what he wants you to do. Okay. And so, you see, actually, our love, it means different things. So often our love is actually focused on ourselves. Maybe we love our boss because he treats us well, okay? And I feel good working for him. Whereas actually, the love that Jesus calls us for is something different. It's a love based on my desire for the good of the other person. And so actually, my love for God is not about me feeling good in a time of worship, let me put it that way, but it's about me wanting to see him honoured, glorified, exalted. And what that actually means in my life, just as it meant for Jesus, his love for his Heavenly Father meant that he was obedient to him, John 14 verse 31, and did as his Father commanded, so actually for me, true love for my Heavenly Father is to be obedient to him. His love for me is quite different. Okay? He doesn't obey me. It's a totally different relationship. It's like the relationship between my children and me, certainly when they were younger, okay? their love for me was hopefully reflected in the fact that they were obedient to me and to my wife, okay? That's what love is, okay? They have respect for their parents, and the love manifests itself in that sort of way. Whereas actually, my love for my child is not about me doing exactly what they want. It's about my care and my nurture for them, and seeking to bring them up in appropriate ways. And so it is with my Heavenly Father. His love and His care for me, His love for me is shown in His care for me. His nurturing of me, His developing of me, His nourishing of me, His gifts to me. That's the way it shows itself. And so Jesus gives us, as I highlighted with the children earlier, those greatest commandments as the way to life. That's what He says to the rich young ruler. If you want to live, this is the way to do it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. Interestingly, as He does so, He's picking up on exactly what Moses said in Deuteronomy. If you go to the end of Deuteronomy, what it says, you can choose between life and death. Life is to love the Lord your God and to obey His commands, and death is to ignore the Lord and to disobey His commands. So the same choice as Moses gave to the Israelites, Jesus gives to the man who comes to Him, and Jesus gives to us now. You see, life is organic, produces fruit, it develops, it needs nourishing, it needs caring for, but it flows through, and you are alive. So it says in Ephesians 2, He's brought you from death to life. And it is so that you might live in all its fullness, life in all its fullness, a fruitful life, overflowing with fruit. Who knows what God will do through you and with you as you allow yourself to be connected to Him. And so what I want us to do over these next months is for each of us to grow in our connection and love. Our love of God, and our love of one another. And what we're going to be doing over the next 4 months, on the first Sunday of the month, we're going to be looking at who God is and what it means to love Him. I've highlighted this morning a little bit of what it means to love Him as Father. We're going to look at who we each are in the months following that, and what it means to love one another. But what I want us to do is, I said about it being an apprenticeship, not like a university student. There's not going to be an exam at the end, okay? The point is this, is that we are more like Christ afterwards than we were before. And it's about team together. And so the vitality, I believe, and the importance of having small, I've been called small teams, okay, I think, to look at this together and encourage one another, build one another up in this, that we would explore what it practically means in our lives to follow this through. And so my core application from this morning is to encourage you to be part of one of those small teams. And you know, should have all received the emails and other information about, you know, as a Sunday night, as a Wednesday night, as a Thursday morning, etc. Okay, and if none of the evenings are available suit you or daytimes, then please just put on the, there's a sheet at the back there which you sign up to. You indicate on there, no good, but I'd love to be part of it. And we'll sort out, indicate a time that suits you, because relationship with God and us moving forwards together. I also encourage you, as those small teams, I've also said about having just a couple of triplets together, maybe triplets are the best, with a view, again, just getting that much more personal, okay? Because our relationship with God is a personal relationship. And our call to encourage each other is actually a personal thing, you know, encouragement with one another. So I want to really take this and apply it as best we can. And also, you may want to spend time on your own. So, the leaflet I've got here, it's available for all of you. There's one at the back for each of you to take away. It's titled Session Zero. This is an extra session, by the way. It is an introduction to what it means to be a fruitful disciple. And inside this leaflet is the first thing is about personal reflection. Some materials you might like to look at. There's some songs to meditate on, which you just look up on YouTube or whatever. There's some suggested books to look at. There's some verses you might want to meditate on. So if you want to reflect on this a bit further, that's on this page here. Okay. The books which are indicated there are also available back. The second hand, you could take one to borrow. There's the book suggested Knowing God by Jay Packer and Desiring God by John Piper as well. Okay. So those are at the back. You're welcome to take one. I'd like them back ultimately, but take one, read it and apply it. On this side, on this corner here, is about being a small team together, and there's questions there for small groups to think through together. And then on the back is some questions as well for your pair stroke triplet time together as well. So it's all there for you to use. Also, what you'll see is in the personal reflection, it talks about a spiritual branch health check. That sheet is also available at the back there. This has got blue on it, blue lines. The spiritual branch health check has got green lines on it, okay, so you can identify the difference between the two. And you're welcome to take that and use it at your leisure, basically. So that's it. So let's just pray, and then I'll pass back to Tony. Heavenly Father, I thank you that your word is true, and I thank you that you want us to be fruitful. Lord, that is just, that's wonderful. You want what's good for us. Lord, I thank you that you have loved us and you've given your life for us. And now we bow before you and we offer our lives to you. Lord, we want to follow you. We want to follow you more closely than we've ever followed you before. Lord, may your Holy Spirit touch us. Lord, may our connection with you become stronger and stronger and stronger. That you would use us totally for your glory. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.